From Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
I remember an old Christian man who came round to our house in Lisburn when I was a young boy. Hubie Brown, you called him. Every time he came, I used to play our old piano and he would sing. I don't think there was ever a time when he didn't sing a wonderful gospel piece, He Touched Me. Hubie's in heaven now, but many a person still sings that great song, He Touched Me, and we're just about to hear one version of it now.
Shackled by a
Brian, and it's great to have your company as we take a brief look at Mark chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Our Lord's in the synagogue at Capernaum, and as he scanned the scene before him in the synagogue, his eye was looking out for some needy soul in whom he could display his power to heal. He found one there, and glory to God, he healed him. That man could certainly sing after he'd been healed, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Notice in the first place from this incident in Mark 3, verses 1 to 6, a complaint that was ruinous. Mark 3 in the verse 1 tells us, And Jesus entered again into the synagogue, and there was there a man which had a withered hand. Here was a man who had a most ruinous complaint. His hand was withered. It had lost the moisture of life. paralysis had so taken hold of it that the veins that should have been giving it strength had dried up, and there that hand hung, a wilted, withered waste of a limb, totally non-functional and non-feeling and utterly useless. The hymn writer said how helpless and hopeless we sinners had been if God never had loved us till cleansed from our sin. The unconverted person stands spiritually strengthless before the Most High God. Paul underlined that fact when in Romans 5 and verse 6 he wrote, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." The unsaved man is completely strengthless to resist sin in his life, and also completely strengthless to render service to the Lord. I find that hard to accept. Where's the proof of that? The proof's in this book, God's Word. The Bible tells us in clear language that every one of our vital faculties, our mind, our heart, and our will, has been infected, invaded, and imprisoned by the devil's agents, by the powers of vileness. What can we say about the mind of man? Well, in Romans 3 and verse 11, we have it made plain that the mind of man has been taken captive by sin and rendered inoperative towards God. There is none that understandeth. In other words, not one individual left to himself can understand the most basic thing that a man needs to understand, and that's to know who God is, to know what God's salvation is, and to realize how essential that salvation is to him if he's ever going to have any hope of heaven. Man's mind has been darkened, blinded, stupefied, left utterly senseless concerning these burning realities. Now think of man's heart. Are there any signs of paralysis in it? Most definitely. Jeremiah 17 verse 9 gives this definitive comment. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That faculty that should be swelling with affection to God is caught in the withering grip of sin. It spews out nothing other than the most awful pollution and the most abominable desires. And as for man's will, well, it's impossible for the will of man, withered and wicked as it is, to do anything other than to choose evil, debauchery and sin. Our Saviour said in John 8 and verse 44, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will to do." The mind and the heart and the will of man are like the hand of this poor man in the Capernaum synagogue, withered, with no moisture, feeling or life, just a mass of deadness. And we need to see and acknowledge that if we're ever going to be saved by God's grace. So we have, first of all, here a complaint that was ruinous. But think also of a command that was rigid. In Mark 3 and verse 5, Jesus gives this man a command, and when you read it, you'll have reason to be surprised. "And he saith unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand." Simple, straightforward word there, stretch forth thine hand. But how could he? His hand was withered. This command was addressed to someone who was hopelessly incapable of obeying. The equivalent command in the spiritual realm, which I hasten to add the Lord Jesus addresses to us sinners far and wide, is, in the words of Matthew 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Or in the words of Acts 3, in the verse 19, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Or again, in the words of Acts 16, in the verse 31, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." "Come unto me for rest," is Jesus' command. "Repent before me for forgiveness," is his command. "Believe on me for salvation," is his command. And yet the same objection can be wheeled out. "Hey, preacher, if I've understood you correctly, then you've just been emphasizing that the mind and the heart and the will of man, every part of him, is in the same state that this man's hand was in. It's withered, it's wilted, it's without life. How then can a person who's dead in trespasses and sins make a living man's response to the call of Christ to come to repent before, or to believe on him? We can't respond to these commands. The whole thing is absolutely impossible." I appreciate the point. Yes, it's true that every unconverted person appears before God as totally depraved, completely corrupt, starved of all true spirituality, even dead in trespasses and in sins. And when a man's written off as spiritually dead, then it follows that he's unable to do anything before God. Your case is helpless. It's humanly hopeless. Inability is written all over it. Christ is calling on you to come, to repent, to believe. But of yourself, you can't do any of these things. To try them is like trying to lift yourself up off the ground by your own bootlaces. Your strength isn't enough for it. Your hands paralyzed and powerless. And so you say, well, Lord, if this is true, then why address these firm commands to me? Ah, but you've overlooked one vital fact. All Christ's commandments are gifts. When he says to you, do this, he pledges himself to give you power to do it. The ability comes along with the command. This man with the withered hand in his synagogue at Capernaum found that to be the case. Faced with the clear command of Christ, stretch forth thy hand, in a sheer act of obedience and faith, the man stretched it out. No questions, no quibbles, no attempt at doing anything different to what Jesus had commanded him to do. The man simply and submissively followed Christ's prescription and stretched out that diseased hand of his. That's how it must be with you. I don't imagine for one moment that there's any strength in you to do this, any more than there was in that paralyzed man. But I know that just as Jesus commands you to believe, to repent, to come, so he'll give you the necessary power to obey those commands, and believe, and repent, and come to him. What then? Well, note what took place when this man in Capernaum stretched out his hand in obedience to the command of the Saviour. Mark puts it so concisely when he says, verse 5 of this third chapter, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Doesn't that tell us about a cure that was remarkable? Consider the fact that this cure was prompt. It's quite clear from the flow of the passage that as soon as this man's hand was extended towards Jesus by faith, the work of healing was done. That it was a perfect remedy is also worth noting. His hand was restored whole as the other. The same can be said of God's salvation. O perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God, the vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. The cure was prompt, it was perfect, it was permanent as well. Spurgeon once said, my master's cures last forever. He's right. In Isaiah 51 and verse 6, we read these tremendous words of assurance, my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Come to Christ. Repent before him. Believe upon Christ, the only Saviour. Venture on him. Venture wholly. Let no other trust intrude. None but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. Come and embrace this healing Saviour and be touched spiritually by him today.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust that you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. We're on the air here on Gospel AM each morning, Monday to Friday at 9:30. So do remember to join us at this time as we let the Bible speak.